This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Job cuts within the oil and gas space have continued to make headlines. Globally, the number of jobs slashed from companies in this industry has now reportedly topped 250,000. Back home in Malaysia, we have read about 10 industry players reportedly having outlined plans to slash at least 2,700 more jobs. Among them, Shell Malaysia is projected to cut 1,300 jobs in 2 years. All majors have also begun to reduce their office space here. All this comes as oil prices more than halved in just the past year. Prices are now hovering at just over $30 per barrel, barely supporting the average cost of production of $45. Contracts awarded have also reduced substantially from 40 billion ringgit or so in 2013 to just 12 billion last year. Of course, the oil field services companies in the exploration sector tend to be hit the hardest. To give us some perspective, we first spoke to Justin Tew, a former field engineer with an international services company.
When I joined 2.5 years ago, I had friends who were in the same training school as me. In my class of 25, probably half of them are not in Schlumberger anymore. When oil price drops, that means company would spend less on exploring new wells. And when companies spend less on exploring new wells, they require less work from contractors such as Schlumberger. We do wireline logging, which provides info about the well to geologists who will then make further analysis and recommendation. So if you're not drilling new wells, then you are only in existing wells, which you already have data on it. Then you probably only run wireline when you need to do remedial work. Then that leads to oilfield services site like Schlumberger. They don't need as many headcount because there's less jobs to go around, and that's how people get cut. I've had friends who already got cut for no reason. They just get cut, they get a compensation and are told to go. Even as bad as one day notice, everyone's just scrambling to make their P&L look not too bad. And yeah, in general, that affects everybody in the oil and gas line.
Justin further tells us about the viability of oil field operations at the current oil price.
So at this rate, at $30 a barrel, I would say that if you're doing land operations on existing fields, meaning like optimizing production from existing fields, then it could be viable amount, but probably very thin margins. But if you're looking at exploring new fields, drilling new wells, or even going offshore, companies either take two paths. Either they just continue to optimize current wells that are already drilled, or if they consolidate. So previously, if they had 5 rigs onshore, 2 rigs offshore, then they may be minimized to, if they can bring these onshore rigs to offshore, then they will consider and bring it to offshore because probably the payout is more offshore than onshore.
Indeed, 2015 has turned out to be a bad year for the oil and gas industry worldwide. Here is Muhammad Issa, talent management consulting leader for Towers Watson Malaysia, recapping how the year panned out for the industry.
It actually moved into an employer's market for 2015 because of organizations driving optimizations within the operations, specifically in the upstream organizations in Malaysia. There is specifically in 2015 a significant increase in talent being available in the market when you talk about oil and gas workers. And because of that, the demand by the market has actually softened as well. In the years past, what has happened is that ONG workers be able to shop around more when it comes to jobs. But in 2015, it's been very much grabbing whatever they can grab, especially for those workers that were specifically on a lot of the contract term, as well as on projects that were coming to an end in 2015 or projects that were specifically stopped or shelved for the rest of the year.
Those companies in the downstream segment are weathering through the current turbulence better than the upstream.
For downstream operations, we don't really see that much of an impact to them because they've always been cost sensitive in all these years and even going forward. And because of the reduced cost of raw materials for the downstream operations at the moment, they're actually also able to ensure that they remain profitable in light of the lower crude prices globally.
Issa points out an interesting point. He says while any further optimization exercise may include a reduction of staff, it will also include redeployment of resources to selected areas. This is so that companies do not have to scramble later on to hire when the market picks up.
The challenges that all majors have learned is that it doesn't pay to reduce your talent pool significantly, because when it comes time to later bring in these people back again and you don't have the right talent on seat, it then would also present a risk to the organization to ramp up and to also deliver the commitments to their clients. So unless there is a major oil price drop, which based on data that we see, we don't see it dropping so significantly within the next year, but we will not know depending on geopolitical situations in the Middle East as well as in the US and Asia.
Issa explains further the rationale behind the redeployment of resources.
When you talk about redeployment of talent, the interesting thing when it comes to oil and gas majors within Malaysia, they have actually all within the last 5-6 years done very aggressive talent development within organizations that enable talent within the organizations to actually move cross functions. So although they may be engineers by background, this does not discount the possibility of them moving to support the downstream business or moving into specific projects that are currently still online for the oil majors. So this is actually the time where most of the oil players in Malaysia would focus a lot more on that. With the current slowdown, they have the opportunity to actually allow for more cross-function exposure as well as cross-function work within the industry, going from the upstream business into the downstream business, or the upstream business into the business strategy side or the business development side of the organization.
Issa also says oil and gas companies will still hire, but at a slower rate, and only for critical positions.
Based on our interactions with our clients, demand is still there. They will hire. However, it would only be more for the critical positions. They would want to ensure optimization in terms of cost. So unless there's a critical need, they would not hire on a large scale. So you won't see major projects being launched within the next 1 year or the next 2 years. The oil prices remain as such. However, that being said, we are also aware that within Malaysia, some of the oil majors still have major projects to deliver, such as the Rapid project in Pengerang. So because of that, there is still critical need to ensure that these projects get completed to the government. Hence, the hiring will still occur, although at a slower rate.
Notably, the industry will see a slightly lower attrition rate, while salary rise will not be as inflated as before, of between 10 or 20% for in-demand disciplines.
You would see a slightly lower attrition rate within the industry because of the vitality of the industry itself. So are people moving around as much as they did before? The answer is no. People now within the industry would prefer to stay where they are until the industry stabilizes. Are the salary increases this year at a rate that it has been in the past? The answer is no. It has been more in line with the more general market percentage between 3 to 5%, depending on where the organizational situation is. Some companies are going at a lower rate of about 3%. Some are going at a more significantly higher rate of 5%. But none of them are actually going beyond the magical number of 10% in trying to retain employees because of the state of the market at the moment.
In the past, where it is difficult to find certain technical talents, it has now become a lot easier. But Issa says our talent should not be looked at within just the local space.
So it's a very different market out there. And when you talk about oil and gas, it's never just about the Malaysian market. You need to look that we are also a component of ASEAN. And a lot of our talent as well are being looked at by other countries within ASEAN, within the Asia-Pacific region. So Malaysian technical talent within the oil and gas industries are very highly in demand, not just in the Middle East, but actually globally.
Meanwhile, Maybank Investment's regional head for oil and gas services, TJ Liao, shed some light on oil prices and how producers worldwide are coping.
It's pretty hard to fathom a bottom on a severe recovery, but having said that, at $30 per barrel of oil, it's fair to say that among the top 20 oil producers in the world, only 12 of them are able to be profitable at such level. If oil price were to fall to $20 per barrel, only 6 countries will survive, which includes 5 OPEC members and Russia itself.
TJ does not rule out further job cuts if oil prices remain depressed at below $40 per barrel on a prolonged basis. Industry players all seem to agree that while an absolute recovery in oil price is still a distance away, the overall risk-reward outlook has improved. That said, all eyes will continue to be on oil prices and the spillover it has on the job market, back home and worldwide. I'm Weilin reporting for BFM.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.